What's up, Clips fans? It's your guys. It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And quasi-positive Chuck Mockler.
You got to stay positive.
Today, I'll do
there's
my best.
There's a lot that went wrong. You got to stay positive today.
That's true.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're live on Twitter. If you guys aren't following us, it's at Locked On Clips. Be sure to check it out. So today, we've got one heck of a show lined up for you. We've got a recap of the devastating loss to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Brutal.
At least I rest easy knowing that A, Shea played a great game,
fantastic.
And B, the Memphis Grizzlies are a really solid team.
Pretty damn good team.
It's not like a Wizards loss. So we're going to be recapping that. We're going to get into our Thirsty Thursday segments, which we do every Thursday. If you guys are ever thirsty for anything, or maybe parched. If you're very parched, or maybe if you're too... You've had enough of something.
Edema. We determined
edema.
Edema,
edema, which is swelling due to water. Let us know on Twitter. What do you think? What are you thirsty for? What do you want to see more of? What do you want to see less of for this Clippers squad? And then we're just going to wrap up with some general NBA stuff. So, yeah, let's get into all of that right about now. First, I think we have a local sponsor, Charles. Why don't you tell us where these fine folks can get a car?
So, if you need a car, like both of us very badly do.
I'm so wet from not having a car today. It's raining.
You need to check out Metro Infinity, just off the 210 in Monrovia. That's 821 East Central Ave in Monrovia. They're the only dealer in California that is family-owned and have been for 25 years.
A truly astonishing feat.
Don't understand how they do it. One of the best parts about Metro Infinity, if you don't like going to the dealership, they'll just bring everything to you so you can like flex on your coworkers or family members. If you mention Locked On, you'll get $500 off any car purchase. If you're trying to get a new Infiniti or just a new car in general, give them a chance to earn their business. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com.
So,
this recap.
Yeah, tough loss last night. Clippers went down 96-86 in the fourth game of a long road stretch.
Yeah, it was a pretty tough road trip. It was a The scoreline made it seem like this game was from, like, 2004.
Yeah, we were both way off in our score predictions. The Grizzlies had been allowing, up to this point, something like 113 points in their last couple of games. They got back into defensive form tonight.
And weirdly, we kind of did, too, I guess. I mean, we only gave up 96.
We did, and the turnovers for this game, if you look at them, were about even. It felt, because I'm a Clippers fan, from watching it, the Clippers were just making, like, turnover after turnover after turnover. However, it was really pretty even in the stat line. Let's go through some basic stats from the game.
Yeah, I'll hit you guys with some quick ones. Mike Conley was the Mama Grizz for this game. If you're new to the podcast, anytime we talk about the Grizzlies, the Mama Grizz is the Grizzlies' leading scorer.
All positive.
He had 22 points. Jermichael Green had 19 off the bench for them, which was huge. For the Clippers, Boban led us with 19-8 in 13 minutes.
He was on pace, like, after the first quarter, his per 36 minutes. I crunched the numbers, and it would have been something like 60-25-5.
That's
sustainable.
That's absolutely sustainable. Gallo was the next highest scorer with 17. Tobias had 12 boards, but did shoot, I believe, 2 for 12 or something. He started 0 for 10.
Yeah, nobody managed to get 20 points on this Grizzly squad, which was disappointing.
On the Clippers squad, I think.
Yeah, we just a couple of things before we really dig in. We had talked about yesterday how, like, it was going to be a big deal for the bench.
Yeah.
Our bench really needed to show up. They were going to be responsible not only for, like, maintaining any sort of leads and keeping us in the game, but possibly
busting
it open, as I believe I said. However, we fell to their bench 43-46. They out-rebounded us. We did move the ball a little bit better, but we turned the ball over 10 times, just our bench, and shot for 25% from three.
And six of those turnovers were from Lou Williams.
Yes.
Weirdly, however, an uncharacteristic night.
Uncharacteristic night. I would like to note, however, that Lou did lead the team in assists still. With 7. So that's not a healthy assist to turnover ratio.
That also seems like another situation where that's like good for Lou, maybe bad for the Clippers as a whole.
I definitely agree with that. I think though that turnover number is abnormally high for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was forced to handle the ball maybe a little bit more than he would have been comfortable with. We got a question coming in. What are the chances of buying out Gortat's contract and have Motley start?
God, we wish.
We'll get into that a little bit more on Thirsty Thursday, as I feel like we just now do every Thursday.
That's
talk about the center situation.
We will talk about that for sure.
But yeah, not a great showing for Gortat.
Will and I had mentioned yesterday to maybe avoid a slow start.
That was the hope.
Clippers did not do that. They started this game on a 10-0 run from the Grizzlies.
They looked out of sorts out there.
They looked like, I tweeted this during the game, it looked like five dudes who just met who were trying to play offense together.
Yeah,
I don't know
definitely.
What was going on. We only scored 15 points in the first quarter, the lowest of our season since the 16 we put up in the first quarter against the Grizzlies last time we met. And we almost beat that again by putting up just 17 in the fourth.
Yeah, the offense in this first half was really not happening. There was some weird stuff going on. Like, it was all topsy-turvy. We were beating the Grizzlies on the offensive glass at that point, and somehow they were murdering us in fast break points. It was like 10 or 12 to zip.
And points in the paint. In the first quarter, I think they scored something like 23 points or something like
that.
They
outscored us by 20 points in the paint. Yeah. It was 30 to 50 throughout the whole game. That was really rough to watch. I had brought up in the game that they were, or in the pregame preview, that they were the slowest team in the NBA.
Yeah.
They abused us. It did not matter.
It's so nuts, dude.
I thought that was one of the more shocking turns of the whole time. Overall, the length of the Grizzlies gave us issues all night. I said that was going to be a problem. I thought that it would be an issue in ball movement. I might have underestimated just how much of an issue it was going to be.
I agree.
Jaren Jackson looked incredible.
He's
out
the truth,
there.
Dude.
If he hadn't fouled out, which, you know, is understandable, he is a rookie, and I think he picked up two or possibly even three, like in the first.
Super fast.
Really quickly. I will credit that to our guys. They were able to lure him into foul trouble, but he was so impactful. It was really difficult getting anything by him, and they kept creating a mismatch where they got Jaren Jackson on Gallo, and Gallo just wasn't stopping it. There was no way it was going to happen. He was feasting inside.
He couldn't stop a lot of stuff. The Memphis defense held it, so the Clippers shot 33% from the floor for the whole game, which is very easily the worst of our season so far. Trez, absolutely bothered by their length.
Yeah.
He couldn't.
He finished with, 8 points?
Yeah, which is like so odd given how well he played last time.
We know how good you are, Trez. You're better than this.
One of the few positive things from this game was how well Shea played.
I think Shea was the one shimmering
bright spot.
Light in this whole game. Man, he finished, listen to this stat line, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, a block, and 3 steals.
How many turnovers?
Only one.
Beautiful. That's
4-1 assist to turnover ratio. That's
that's
incredible.
That's your new favorite stat.
Assist to turnover ratio is legitimately one of my favorite stats.
Yeah, he played fantastic. On the other side, here's who didn't play well. I wanted this to maybe be a Mike Scott game.
Yeah, I thought coming into this game that it would be really good for him, especially because the Grizzlies don't allow a whole lot of 3-point shots, but the ones that they do are very high percentage. He was unable to convert.
He was 0 for 3 in 13 minutes of play. At one point, we were running this 5-person lineup that was maybe the worst lineup in terms of play all year. It was Bradley, Beverly, Lou, Scott, and Trez.
Yeah.
It was horrendous to watch.
Yeah,
like there's no real offense from AB and Brad and Beverly. Their playmaking wasn't very good, and like shots weren't falling, which is that perfect storm of like, oh, so we're just not going to do anything.
Yeah, Bradley shot the ball pretty poorly. He ended up going 25% from the field, and that's like another easy 7 points that could have been added. I don't fault him. He's been playing really phenomenally lately. That's bound to take a dip sometimes.
For sure.
Especially when you're on the road against a really solid defensive team.
Per Justin Russo, fantastic. I believe his Twitter handle is Fly By Night. I don't know. Follow him if you're watching this and you don't follow him. Fantastic for stats. So Boban came in and really changed this game.
Yeah.
He absolutely crushed. Here's this wonderful stat from Justin Russo. Clippers were outscored 21-14 after Boban got subbed out with 9 minutes to go. They were +8 in the 13 minutes that he played.
Yeah, I was really kind of perplexed.
Why did he only get 13 minutes?
I was unsure why, even after that first quarter, he didn't play the entirety of the second.
We don't play till Saturday. We weren't on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah,
play the big guy.
And he was playing great. I mean, I think it's one thing. Boban is one of those pieces where it's hard to gauge what he's going to be able to do, but it's apparent almost immediately if it's working or not.
Yeah, instantly you're like, oh, yeah, no, this is a Boban night.
Yeah.
And everyone on Clippers Twitter was like, oh, but you know, well, I wanted Boban to play, but he's actually playing well. Let's keep this fool in.
I also thought, too, that this is a matchup that's kind of tailor-made for a Boban breakout game.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of long players, but they're slow, and they're not really going to force it to stretch him to the perimeter.
And they're not as long as he is.
Yeah, exactly.
What else? This game, Doc summed it up well in the post game. He said, this was the first game I can just say we got our butts kicked.
Yeah.
Which we straight up did. We shot poorly. Their defense clamped down on us. Gortat only played 13 minutes, which was nice. He put up a cool 2 points and 3 rebounds with an offensive rating of 47.
Ooh.
That's
incredible.
Not good.
No.
We're going to talk about this again on Thirsty Thursday, but this is something... This has been the most frustrating thing for me personally this season from Doc is his stubbornness for some reason, specifically with the center position.
Yeah.
Like, what is...
For some reason, our regular starting five of Shea, Bradley, Gallo, Harris, and Gortat at the five played the most minutes of any lineup last night. And, they were only able to contribute all of 21 points. And...
so bad. Yeah, Beverly played 16 minutes. He had a minus 20 rating. Avery Bradley had a minus 15 rating. I know that those don't necessarily mean a whole lot or super indicative of how the game went, but our two quote-unquote defensive anchors should play a little better than that, which we know they can.
Yeah. I also want to say one thing. I feel like we lost by 10. I think that this game could have gotten even more out of hand.
Oh, dude. I mean,
they were only able to create all of 17 points on 19 turnovers.
Yeah. I was ready for us to put up less than 68.
Oh, man. It was going to be our Jazz game.
Dude, we almost only had 30 points at halftime.
Yeah.
Like, there was a late surge in the second quarter, which was great, but I genuinely was like, oh, we're going to put up like 64 points.
We got to talk about Tobias.
Yeah, he started 0 for 10. I mean, he came on really, really, really late, I guess. The boards was nice, but...
Yeah, he did lead the team in rebounding, but like we need him to be a scorer. And for a guy who's looking for a guy who's looking for a near max, I understand that people are gonna have hard nights, and I think that that's fine. What I want to see though is someone like able to turn it around towards the end.
At least he kept shooting.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
like, at least he was like, hey, you can't. They don't go if you don't shoot them. So that was good. Yeah. So some good news. We're still on pace for 55 wins.
Definitely.
We're 16-8.
Yeah.
Three of our next four games are against sub-500 teams.
We're still only a half game out of first place.
Yeah. This was a perfect storm. They played that bad ISO ball that we don't like to see.
I don't blame that wholly on them. It was really hard to move the ball, and I think they got discouraged pretty quickly.
Yeah, and Memphis, very hostile place to play. Shout out to the away fans in Memphis. That kind of about does it. Disappointing game.
Should we talk about the Patrick Beverly situation, the contract situation?
I figure we can talk about that next segment.
Okay, great. Seems good. We'll talk about that. And you'll hear more about that in Thirsty Thursdays.
So, welcome to Thirsty Thursdays. If you're watching this, we have to pause for ads. Sorry about that. there was this article on Clutch Points about how Patrick Beverly supposedly turned down a contract extension this summer to test free agency. He's making $5 million a year now. Are you thirsty to keep him? How much would you pay him on the free agent market right now to keep him, and for how long?
I don't know. You know, I don't want to bag on him too much because I do think there are the intangibles that he provides.
For sure.
I do think that he is a good leader and a good role model.
Deaf. Deaf, dude.
I just don't think he's worth anything more than $5 million a year.
Yeah, I was kind of like, it might be a situation where I guess maybe if Phoenix doesn't figure out their point guard thing by the end of the year, they'd maybe sign him for a lot like they did with Ariza?
I don't think so.
But like, that's the only thing that
they need a point guard who can be a playmaker. They need a point guard who can get the ball to Devin Booker. And I don't think that
he's that guy.
Yeah, I don't think that Pat is your guy for
that. So like, what do you think his strategy is here? Do you think he thinks that the Clippers are going to overpay? Because he was such a part of, he was part of the presentation in the offseason. He's been a pretty big part of the team's culture while trying to switch over to Clamp City.
Yeah.
So why not just sign the extension? Like, we want you here.
I think that, you know, before we knew how these other pieces were going to work, or like after that first Chris Paul trade, which we went a little bit in depth into in yesterday's Ariel Universe.
Check it out.
That it seemed like he would be a bigger part of the culture of this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case. He is a good player. And I mean, he does bring a lot to the table. I just don't think that he is the guy that we're like, oh yeah, this is like the direction that we want to go in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Especially with the, you know, the emergence of Shea and
the poor play from Beverly also.
Yeah, yeah, the poor play from sucks. Beverly and the breakouts of, you know, Tobias and Montrez.
Yeah.
It doesn't really fit. I don't know that it necessarily fits with the way this team is going.
For sure. What else are you thirsty for right now?
Man, we just say it every week, but what are we doing with the center position? We got these two guys that are absolutely dominating everybody in the G League, and they haven't gotten a single minute yet.
Not even
with the Clippers.
Sniffed. They called Motley up. He didn't even play.
No.
Felt bad for the kid.
Not even like the 5 second slap in the face.
The Ty Wallace minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Ty Wallace not as good of a game.
No, he did not have a good, which I was bummed about.
I was bummed about. Really, he looked impactful. He looked confident, but it just wasn't there.
So yeah, like, piggybacking off that, Angel Delgado, pod favorite, last night for the Agua Caliente Clippers, 24-19.
Wow.
The dude, so Agua Caliente plays him at the 4 and Motley at the 5, which I can't even imagine trying to play against if you're another team. But Delgado is still, he's 6'10".
Yeah.
So he's not, like, he's a borderline undersized center.
He's undersized.
But, I mean, Trez is 6'8".
Yeah.
So it's
no,
like,
I mean, it's definitely a more traditional size.
It's not the craziest thing to think or want him to come up to just show get boards.
Yeah, and I think that like height doesn't matter as much depending on your play style. Obviously, there are still limits. Like, there's still limits to what Trez can do at 6'8". I mean, if I was as strong as Gallo,
yeah, the strongest man in the league.
But I do think that, like, if you're, you know, you're super athletic and you're playing above the rim and everything, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at these rebounding numbers and stuff, and I just think that that would be a pretty natural fit.
Right? They're eye-popping, dude. He's had multiple games where he's at least, he's had plus 15 rebounding games, I think, like, 3 or 4 times already this season. He's had plus 20 twice.
Yeah.
Like, the kid knows how to rebound. And we're not even talking about Motley. We're talking about the other great rebounder for the Agua Caliente Clippers.
Yeah, the guy who's probably further away from getting called up.
Yeah, which is insane.
And the thing to me is, like, how much harder are... I mean, I don't think that's a fair question
to disrespect
say.
Some G League player.
But, like, let's say that these numbers can be, at his best, a quarter of what they are in the G League. Isn't that still worth the time over playing Gortat so much?
Gortat had 3 boards last game.
Yeah, so we're saying that he could probably contribute at least 4 boards, right?
5? Yeah. I would assume. Honestly, if you just told him, hey, we're going to put Delgado out there. It's going to be Shea, Lou, maybe Tobias, Mike Scott, Delgado. Everyone else can score.
Weirdly,
so, like, just literally tell him, hey, just go grab boards.
Weirdly, Montrez was having some trouble around the rim last night, too.
He looked, I mean, like you said, 4th game on the road. I think our guys were just tired. This is
He also took a 3, which is a sight I never hope to see again in my entire life.
Yeah, we don't
want to
see that. Yeah, and Memphis is also the worst team to play the 4th game of your road trip.
Yeah.
Like, that's brutal.
Yeah, you know that's going to be a hard game.
Something I'm thirsty for, I want to see more consistency from Tobias and Mike Scott.
Yeah, so Tobias is the biggest one that, like,
He needs that to get that contract.
He needs to step up. He has some great nights and he has some great numbers. To me, it means nothing if it's in a loss.
Bold.
Big numbers mean nothing to me in a loss. I'm sorry. They just don't. And then, you know, I can live with a guy having an off shooting night every now and again. You know, even Kemba has off shooting nights, who I would say is like one of the more clutch guys.
And your favorite player.
What I don't want to see is like just it not able to translate or not able to turn around. Like, you need to be able to like get your rhythm no matter what is getting thrown at you.
And last,
especially if you want max money, man, you're talking about an amount of money that we can have
24 million,
possibly 3 of, and still hope to field a decent team.
Yeah,
more realistically, you can probably have 2 of those contracts.
Yeah,
if you want to field a deep team,
for sure. Which we have now, but and last night our team kind of got. They were just so quickly in tantrum mode.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, so Tobias did get a tech called on him for throwing his headband at his own bench. It was an insane technical to give.
I thought that was, absurd.
But also, don't be that fired up that early.
Yeah.
Like, don't be that
mad. I just don't
want to,
like, we talk about this, I feel like, a bunch. Like, that's not the type of aggression I want to see.
No.
I don't want to see the off-court aggression. I want to see you going at somebody
aggression.
In the game. Yeah.
Constructive aggression.
Yeah, you got to channel that into something semi-positive.
And then, for the Mike Scott thing, that's kind of less important. I mean, I really want him to be good, obviously. But when your whole role is to come in, hit a couple quick threes or something like that.
Definitely.
be a little more. He's been a little up and down. They also, the Ringer just did a list of 25 players through the best 25 players through the first 25 games.
Uh-huh.
I think Tobias was like number 10 on there. It's kind of cool. Shout out to the Ringer for that. Thought Trez should have been on the list, but anyway, yeah, Mike Scott. I want to see him just get a little more consistent.
Definitely.
It's just been kind of annoying.
Definitely.
He was great against the Hawks. He saved us in that game. But like this game, 0-for-3?
Yeah.
Gotta hit one.
Well, and I just want to add one last thing on the Tobias thing.
It.
He is Western Conference Player of the Month. Obviously, his play has improved, and he's getting better and better every year. But still, like, he only took 2 free throw attempts in this game.
Yeah, if you're not
were in the bonus. We spent a lot of time in the bonus.
Yeah, if you're not hitting from the outside, get to the line.
Absolutely.
That's what we preach on this
Absolutely.
Podcast.
And that was like, you saw that. I mean, when Boban came in, it wasn't just Boban that was winning the game. Mm-hmm. We got back to doing the things that we do well, getting to the line.
Go to the line. Yeah.
Staying locked in defensively. Yeah. I don't know. It was a disappointing loss, but at least, like, in my opinion, at least it came at the hands of a good team.
A team that we will have to face in the playoffs.
A team that I would consider, I mean, now that Conley is back, like, our most realistic rivalry. To me, that's like the...
Yeah, I like that.
Because I thought in the Lob City years, like the Grizzlies, I thought that was like a pretty good rivalry.
Yeah, I like that. I think we're going to probably see this team in the playoffs, which is going to be kind of terrifying.
I like our odds in a 7-game series, but I think on any one night, you know?
Yeah, it could be anyone's game. Coming up after this, we're doing a quick NBA wrap-up. But first, if you're in Los Angeles right now and you need warm clothes, which I do.
Everything, I am damp from head to toe.
I'm wearing
right now.
Borderline sleeveless shirt if you're watching the live stream because all of my actual clothes are drying on my desk. Check out actionheat.com. They have super sweet, like
it's active heating.
Activated heating.
Yeah,
so it's like electric.
Yeah, it's very cool.
They got a special deal for Locked On listeners. Save 20%. You go to actionheat.com/lockedon or just enter the promo code Locked On at checkout. Stay toasty warm. Buy us some stuff, maybe. How about starting Sin instead of Bradley? We like that. Coming up after this real quick ad, just a quick NBA wrap-up. Someone just asked, I think we can branch off onto this on the live
totally.
Stream. Somebody asked, what about starting Sindarius over Bradley? I did a very thorough breakdown of that right before Bradley started playing really good defensively.
I still don't think it's a good idea. I love this take.
Yeah, I
think
do too.
This is a fire take.
But now I'm like, I don't know.
Sindarius over Beverly? Now
maybe.
We're talking.
Maybe,
now
that's
now
something.
Maybe you're talking.
Sindarius's offensive game, while Bradley's is not that good, is worse.
It is definitely worse.
it is
definitely worse.
It's not that good for
him. He doesn't really even take the shots anymore.
Yeah. Someone mentioned how can we don't buy out Gortat. We talked about, I think, 2 episodes ago, Twitter user Clips with 2 P's, 12_13. You need a new handle, bro.
What a name.
Suggested trading Gortat, Milos in a second for Trevor Ariza and then calling up Motley. Which we're on board for.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a great idea. I think Ariza on this second unit, you know, he adds a defensive edge even more so than Mike Scott.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know, we're not hitting the shots like we normally are, at least we do have that to fall back on.
Yeah. All right. Quick NBA wrap-up. We're probably going to do 2 of these games. They're fairly important, though. The Lakers got a win against the Spurs, 121-113. LeBron had 42-6-5. No doubt, probably for somehow enraging Lakers fans.
Are you still mad?
For dragging them to a win. Yeah, like, get over it, dude. You have the best player in the world. Kuzma had 22. KCP had 12.
The Spurs, though, their big three was really
dude,
solid.
They played so good.
I don't know what more you could want from them. The problem with the Spurs all season has just been that their defense isn't there like it normally is.
Yeah, I mean, DeMar had 32. Rudy Gay had 31. LaMarcus had 21-9. You'd think you would win pretty much any game. Those guys are over 25 points.
It just hasn't been there on the other side of the floor like it normally is.
Yeah, the Lakers.
And granted, though, you are taking a step down defensively from Kawhi to DeMar.
Yeah, no shit. Lakers get to 15-9, just 2 games back from first.
Wow.
The West is...
They're getting in sniffing distance of LA's best basketball team.
OKC barely got by the Nets.
Which is so insane. Paul George had 47-15. Westbrook with another triple-double, which the notification came up on my phone, and I was like, huh, things I don't care about.
Oh, I got his 100 triple-double. And they won by 2 because of a Paul George shot.
Yeah.
But still, 2 points. Noted Thunder killer Alan Crabb with the Nets of 22. Joe looks like a Barista Harris, was next with 19. Spencer Dinwiddie and D-Rust each had 17.
Great.
Thunder are pretty top-heavy.
Yeah. But definitely.
That's, I think, feel like you're either super top heavy or you're kind
of
like.
They have one of the best defenses in the league, though, right now.
Yeah. And I think Schroeder had something like 20 points, which is big for them.
Any other games you want to wrap up?
Oh, the
you
Pelicans. Want to talk
about Pels Mavs?
Yeah, Pels Mavs was pretty great. Julius Randle, can he win most improved player this year?
I think that's definitely should be floated out there. Or six man. Like, I don't know.
He had 27 and 18. Like, I mean, he's playing so damn well. AD had 27, 4, and 9 for the Mavs. Harrison Barnes led the Mavs with 16. And Dwight Powell did the bare minimum to get a double-double with 10 and 10. If the Pels peak, like, Mirotić didn't even play in this game.
Yeah, he's out due to illness, I believe, which I'm never...
What's this NBA illness going around? If you have any takes on what this NBA illness might be...
Yeah, what's going on there?
No, is there like an NBA flu or something we should know about?
Can we catch it from watching too much?
What about talking about it? The Pels, where do you see them fitting into the playoff picture?
Man, I don't know. I think it's going to be similar to last year, probably a six seed.
And they're just going to like destroy the four seed that they play or whoever it is? The three seed.
I definitely see that as a possibility again. It just depends.
Yeah, if they peak at the right time, it's going to be like, you know, Holiday didn't even play that well this game.
Yeah.
And they still crushed a pretty good Mavs team.
I don't know. It's hard. It's the playoff picture. It seems so close yet so far.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, it's almost here. Oh, no, it's not. It's December. Guys, that about wraps it up for us.
Yeah.
Shout out to everyone who watched on the live stream.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Let us know if you like this. We'll keep doing it. Who knows?
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to have a preview about the game against the Heat on Saturday, taking a look at the Pacific Division power rankings. And, of course, playing everyone's favorite game.
Love, marry, kill.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.